This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Britain, where the most prolific child killer in the country's history has been sentenced this morning.
I'm Vicky Barker in London. Lucy Letby has become only the fourth woman in British legal history to hear this from a judge.
You will spend the rest of your life in prison.
No chance of parole for murdering seven newborns and attempting to murder six more. The court heard how 33-year-old Letby injected some of her victims with insulin or with air or poured milk down their breathing tube.
In Southern California, the rain has eased off, but winds are still kicking up and several roads are flooded after the region's first tropical storm in 84 years. Correspondent Carter Evans reports from Palm Springs.
About 3 feet of water flowing down the street and rising quickly. Already a car stranded. This is why they call it flash flooding.
Everything in the mountains is coming straight downhill, gravity, and it's coming right through us.
That is all avalanche debris.
Hillary made landfall in Baja California, Mexico Sunday with heavy rain and winds pummeling the region. And as the storm moved into Southern California,
looks like somebody might have fallen over the edge here.
Coastal communities like Malibu were extremely dangerous. Emergency crews had to rescue this fisherman who fell off a rocky cliff.
Palm Springs 911 system hasn't been working, and schools in Los Angeles are closed today. To the northwest, a 5.1 earthquake hit the city of Ojai.
I've lived in Ojai since 1993, and this is the worst earthquake I've felt since in all that time.
No major damage or injuries reported. The president heads to Maui today to take in the devastation from the deadly wildfires. CBS's Bo Erickson.
President Biden said in a statement he and the First Lady are eager to meet with brave first responders in Hawaii and spend time with families and community members.
The death toll on Maui is at 114, with more than 1,000 people still missing. Drive a Mustang Mach-E EV. The NTSB says it's investigating to find out if Ford's recall last year adequately addressed concerns over high-voltage batteries reheating from fast charging and repeated problems with wide-open pedal incidents that could lead to abrupt power loss. At least 12 owners complained about the fixes. A benefit concert on Maui. ...100% of the proceeds from a live telethon at Parker Ranch Center in Waimea will benefit the survivors and victims' families. A benefit Saturday at a restaurant in Kihei raised more than $40,000. S&P futures up 15. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm James Kelly. WSAW is reporting that Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has approved a nearly $1 million contract to replace traffic signals and improve vehicle and pedestrian safety on Wisconsin 13 between Perkins Street and Clark Street in the city of Medford. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation will replace traffic signals and equipment, install pedestrian push buttons, and replace pedestrian curb ramps on the sidewalk. The project should begin today, Monday, August 21st, and should be completed in October. According to the Associated Press, Wisconsin Republican lawmakers are seeking to eliminate work permits for 14 and 15-year-old residents, allowing them to join the labor force without permission from parents or documentation from the state. The news comes just months after the Labor Department fined Wisconsin-based meatpacking contractor Packers Sanitation more than $1.5 million for employing at least 100 children, some as young as 13 years old. Pacific Media, James Kelly.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Oh yeah, man, there's a classic for you. Johnny Cash on a Monday morning, 8 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. We've got 71 degrees in Richland Center, and it's 66 degrees in Eau Claire. And it's interesting, to me at least, to see what other people outside of Wisconsin's boundaries think of Wisconsin and how they look at Wisconsin. You know, no matter where you live in the state, every spring, just before summertime, if you're watching the local news, you'll see the report, you'll see the story about the kids that jump off the boats on Lake Geneva to deliver the mail, right? I don't know if it's right around Memorial Day or something like that. They have the tryouts. So these kids are jumping off the mail boat, jumping onto the pier, trying to deliver the mail as fast as they can and jump back onto the boat before the boat's gone, right? We've all seen that every year for as long as you've been in Wisconsin. Well, that story about the boat jumpers delivering the mail for over 100 years now is, it's interesting to see the perspective of those who live outside the state. Okay. And what they think of the whole idea. And we are used to it, but others aren't. And I found a story on CNBC, and they think it's the coolest summer job. And that's the headline. And then it says these teens jump off a moving boat to deliver mail in Wisconsin. This was published yesterday at CNBC. And it says Marissa Torres Rabi didn't want to spend her summer making copies in an office or slinging ice cream like her classmates,
jumping from moving boats and sprinting off piers sounded a lot more exciting. The 19-year-old is a male boat jumper in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, the first and only town in the United States where jumpers, like Tori's Rabbi, deliver mail from a passenger-carrying mail boat. The tradition began in 1916 and has continued uninterrupted from June through September for the last 107 years. This is Tori's Rabbi's third summer working on the Walworth II, Lake Geneva's double-decker mail boat. She started working for Lake Geneva Cruise Line, which operates the Walworth II, when she was 15 years old, in a ticket office on the pier. To be a mail boat jumper, you need to be athletic, agile, and willing to perform in front of hundreds of tourists. Lake Geneva Cruise Line offers tours of the mail boat at 10 a.m. every day, which lets people follow the jumpers along their route. Six jumpers, many of whom come from towns surrounding Lake Geneva, are selected at the start of each season after a competitive tryout in June. Some are excited to be part of a long-standing tradition, but most are teens hoping to land, as Tori's Rabbi calls it, quote, the coolest job out there, end quote. The jumper's day starts at the post office at 7 a.m. to pick up the mail. Then it's off to the Walworth II to sort the mail, prepare for launch, and greet passengers. Each jumper makes 45 to 60 jumps a day, typically working Monday through Saturday. The Walworth II is always on the move, only slowing down to allow the jumpers to get on and off the boat, which means that sometimes they might have to take an unexpected swim during their shift. Quote, it doesn't happen often, but it's a rite of passage. Sid Pearl, a mail boat jumper of 5 years, says, if the dock is slippery or you underestimate the distance from the edge of the pier to the stern, there's a good chance you're going in that water, end quote. Some deliveries are harder than others. Ray Ames, who's been the captain of the Walworth II for the past 20 years, says the largest item a jumper has delivered during his tenure was a 42-inch flat-screen TV a few summers back. Last year, one of the jumpers had to sprint across the pier with a 30-pound umbrella base. And a quote from the captain says, we'll carry anything that the post office gives us and figure out how to get it there, the 64-year-old adds. Jumpers typically finish their shift by 1 p.m., but most have other jobs at the cruise line as tour guides or bartenders that will keep them working through the afternoon or evening. The cruise line declined to share the hourly wage for jumpers. Pearl, Sid Pearl, who we mentioned earlier, has many fond memories from past summers working on the mail boat, but he especially loves a sold-out tour on a sunny morning and entertaining out-of-town visitors. The 19-year-old recalls one tour with documentary filmmakers from Germany who planned a trip to Lake Geneva after reading about the Walworth II online. There's really nothing better, he adds. It's such a fun, special job that I can tell stories about for the rest of my life. Ethan Connolly, who's been a mail boat jumper for 3 summers now, says that one of the most rewarding aspects of the job is befriending the residents. Here's a quote. He said, there's one neighbor, Mrs. Phillips, who will stand out on the pier almost every morning we visit her with cookies for the jumper, the 19-year-old says. Anytime we turn into the bay where her house is, I know we're in for some homemade chocolate chip cookies and a hug, which makes the job even more fun. All three of these teenagers, Tori's Rabbi, Pearl, and Conley, say this is their last summer working on the boat. Next year, when they're all rising juniors in college, they'll consider summer classes, study abroad programs, internships, and other work opportunities instead. Tori's Rabbi believes being a mail boat jumper has prepared her well for the corporate world. It's really helped me develop my confidence and communication skills. Just having the ability to lead a tour of 100-plus strangers and do a challenging job well even in bad weather. I've learned a lot, she says. Ames, however, isn't ready to retire from the water. Quote, I have a few more seasons in me, he says, adding that he hopes to remain captain until his grandkids are old enough to be boat jumpers. Quote, the mailboat signals summer here. People are out in the piers every day waving to us. They just love it, he adds. Bringing that joy means a lot to me. That's what motivates me to show up to work every day. End quote. Story about the boat jumpers on Lake Geneva. From an outside perspective, that story from CNBC, the coolest summer job. These teens jump off a moving boat to deliver mail in Wisconsin. Interesting stuff. Stick around. I'm going to take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Mostly cloudy this morning. I think we'll see a little more sunshine as we head into this afternoon. Our high today right around 80 with southeast wind at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 68. Tomorrow will be sunny, warmer, and a lot more humid. Our high tomorrow right around 90 with a heat index pushing 100. Wednesday even hotter with a high of 96. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it is 66.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hi. Ain't nothing I can say, nothing I can do. I feel so bad, yeah. I feel so blue. I got to make it right for everyone concerned. Even if it's me, if it means just me, what's getting burned? 'Cause I could never make you unhappy. Time would come, I'd have to pay for my mistake. I can't blame you for what you're doing to me, girl. Even though my heart aches, your dreams have all come true, just the way you planned them. So I'll just step aside. A helping hand in, 'cause I can never make you unhappy. No, I couldn't do that, girl. Only wish I could love you so. Makes it so very hard to go. So very hard to go. 'Cause I love you so.
Sound great or what? On a Monday morning, Tower of Power, one of the many hits they had back in the 1970s. Those guys were a hit-making machine in the early and mid-70s, and that was one of those great songs. Welcome back in to the Stu Daniels Show. 67 degrees in Amory right now, 64 degrees in Hayward. And if you want to join us on the phone, if you have an opinion about anything we've been discussing today, feel free to call in. Let me know what you're thinking. Phone number is 715-388-7155. And we've got the big debate on Wednesday down in Milwaukee. And as you probably heard, the former president, Trump, said he's not going to be involved in this debate. Although, I guess he could still show up, according to what I'm reading. But debates aren't like they used to be. Even elections aren't like they used to be. Seems like it's a lot more divided, divisive.
There's a story here from USA Today, updated just 23 minutes ago, that says, violent threats, racist messages. Bipartisan officials call the aftermath of the 2020 election terrifying. It's just amazing what goes on and what people often get away with these days, but they don't always get away with those types of things. And let me give you a little bit of this piece here. It says, Philadelphia City Commissioner Omar Sabir was at the Pennsylvania Convention Center on November 5th of 2020 to help tally the votes of the recent presidential election. But something else was brewing that day. Sabir told USA Today law enforcement officials were alerted that armed individuals from Virginia were going to drive to Philadelphia to allegedly straighten out the election. When the men, supporters of former President Donald Trump, Joshua Macias and Antonio LaMotta, arrived near the convention center in a vehicle with handguns, they were immediately apprehended. Quote, we basically kept going on because we knew that there was a duty that had to be done. So I wasn't going to be unwavered by that, Sabir said. As I reflect back now, that's like kind of crazy that some weapons were actually a stone's throw from where you were at just completing the job. He recalled how his inbox was filled with a constant barrage of threats, even ahead of the November 2020 election. His office also received a chilling call in September 2020 from a man who threatened to use the Second Amendment against Democrats and other officials. In the days leading up to the November 3rd election, Sabir said his behavior changed. Quote, I had to sleep in different places, he said. I couldn't come home. My home was under police protection, so it didn't just affect me or my family. My neighbors were concerned. It was life transforming. Trump has been indicted twice over his efforts to allegedly steal the 2020 election on federal charges and state charges in Georgia. Both indictments accuse him and his allies of a pressure campaign against state officials across the country. It was late in November of 2020 when then Arizona House of Representatives Speaker Rusty Bowers and his wife returned home from church meetings. According to testimony he gave to the U.S. House last year, that was when he received a phone call from Trump and the former president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. Bowers testified that he asked Giuliani on multiple occasions to provide evidence for his claims of widespread election fraud during the call, including false allegations of votes from non-citizens and dead people. He never received the proof. When Giuliani allegedly asked Bowers to replace the electors who were supposed to support President Joe Biden in the race for the White House, Bowers said he wouldn't violate Arizona law, and it's a good thing. Got to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Keep trucking like the dude of man together. Oh, that's in line. Just keep trucking on.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. British nurse Lucy Letby's been sentenced to life in prison for killing 7 newborns and trying to murder 6 others. CBS's MTS Tyabs in London.
Letby was on duty in all of the cases and described her as a, quote, constant malevolent presence in the neonatal unit when the children collapsed or died.
The rain stopped, but the danger remains in parts of Southern California after the first tropical storm there in 84 years. CBS's Elise Preston from San Bernardino County.
Flash floods, high winds and the relentless rain led to washed out roads, flooding led to mudslides southeast of here in Oak Glen, where the runoff appears to have jumped the protective K-rails meant to hold back the debris flow.
It was quite a surprise northwest of L.A. when a 5.1 earthquake hit Ojai.
Caught us off guard, for sure. Once the bottle started flying off the wall, it was a little like, oh, wow. And then the small quakes that have been happening after are a little unnerving.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services, Public Health, Madison, and Dane County have confirmed the first human case of West Nile virus in a Wisconsin resident this year. The individual is a resident of Dane County. Cases of West Nile virus have also been reported in three horses in Wisconsin and several mosquito pools. State Health Officer Paula Trant stated this confirmed case in a Wisconsin resident is a reminder that even as summer winds down, we still need to take precautions to prevent mosquito bites. While West Nile virus and other viruses spread by mosquitoes pose a risk to all Wisconsinites, people who have weakened immune systems are at the greatest risk for serious illness. As reported by WAUK, about 44,000 Wisconsinites were kicked off of Medicaid last month after COVID-era protections came to an end and all Medicaid users had to renew their status. People who never filed the renewal paperwork last month now have just 3 months to file and potentially restart their Medicaid coverage. For Civic Media, I'm James Kelly.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Thank you.
future's so bright, I gotta wear shades. Yeah, welcome back into the Stu Daniels Show at 9:36. Music from Timbuk 3, coming out of Wisconsin in the 1980s. They have a big hit on MTV and on radio stations across the country. And right now we've got 72 degrees in La Crosse. It's 71 degrees in Richland Center. Just before the break, we were discussing the election of 2020 and how many people involved in the election, just by being either poll workers or government officials, received threats, threats of violence and even death threats. And just before the break, we were discussing Rusty Bowers, a speaker of the House of Representatives in Arizona. You may remember him from the hearings, the January 6th hearings of the Select Committee. He spoke or was interviewed by the Select Committee and told his story. And just before the break, we were going over this piece from USA Today with a headline that says, "Violent Threats, Racist Messages. Bipartisan officials call the aftermath of the 2020 election terrifying." And this piece was just posted today at USA Today. And I'll give you a little bit of this that I read just before the break, and then we'll continue in the story. It said, as it was late November 2020, when then Arizona House of Representatives Speaker Rusty Bowers and his wife returned home from church meetings, according to testimony he gave to the U.S. House last year. That was when he received a phone call from Trump and the former president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. Bowers testified that he asked Giuliani on multiple occasions to provide evidence for his claims of widespread election fraud during the call, including false allegations of votes from non-citizens and dead people. He never received the proof. When Giuliani allegedly asked Bowers to replace the electors who were supposed to support President Joe Biden in the race for the White House, Bowers said he wouldn't violate Arizona law. But his refusal to reject the 2020 election results earned him threats, Bowers testified. For instance, he described how various groups would come to his neighborhood to call him a pedophile. Quote, "I do not want to be a winner by cheating," Bowers said. "I will not play with laws I swore allegiance to." And we as Americans are fortunate to have people like Rusty Bowers in positions that made a difference in the 2020 election. Even though he was a Republican, he said he was not going to play those kind of games, and he wasn't going to play with laws that he swore allegiance to. Bowers wasn't the only state official Trump and his allies called following Election Day 2020. Just days before the January 6th Capitol attack, Republican Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger and other members of his office spoke with Trump, his campaign attorneys, and former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. In an hour-long call, Trump urged Raffensperger to find 11,780 votes in Georgia, a state Biden won in the election. Quote, "What I knew is that we didn't have any votes to find," Raffensperger testified to the House last year. Raffensperger said both he and his family received threats in the wake of the election, and intruders broke into his daughter-in-law's home. "I think sometimes moments require you to stand up and just take the shots," Raffensperger said. "You're doing your job," end quote. And in Michigan, Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, who charged 16 of Trump's fake electors, told USA Today she also had concerns about false claims of election fraud in her state. After the election, Trump met with former Michigan Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey and former Michigan House of Representatives Speaker Lee Chatfield in the Oval Office. The federal 2020 election indictment against Trump alleges he falsely claimed in the meeting there was an illegitimate dump of votes in Detroit, which Shirkey debunked. Quote, "At some point, I became very, very nervous, and I was certain that there was a plot afoot to overturn the results of the election in Michigan," Nessel said. Nessel explained that she contacted Democratic attorneys general attorneys generals in the United States and asked to speak to them so she could share what was happening in Michigan. Along with the massive amounts of litigation that emerged in the state, Nessel said social media posts and other statements from supporters of the former president made it appear state and local officials were the target of a pressure campaign. Both local and state officials were receiving threats, which she said was unsettling and not really a part of our democracy. When Giuliani, Trump campaign attorney Jenna Ellis, and other witnesses appeared before the Michigan House Oversight Committee in December of 2020, then Michigan State Representative Cynthia Johnson told USA Today she thought it was silly. "I felt stupid, actually, because here I am. I'm 62 years old at the time. We shouldn't even be doing this. We are wasting taxpaying dollars," Johnson said. "I was just so disgusted. The world is watching this," she added. Johnson explained that while she was asking the witnesses questions, she was receiving racist threats on her computer. "As I'm sitting there as a black woman in the room, I'm feeling threatened. Thank God for our sergeants that were there." Sergeants at arm, I'm assuming she means. Then Michigan State Representative Beau LaFave told USA Today that he asked probing questions to each of the witnesses as they raised claims of election fraud. And the quote from LaFave says, "At the time of that meeting and up until the 6th of January and up until this moment, I cannot say and put my credibility on the line that Donald Trump won the state of Michigan," LaFave said. "I do not see the evidence of that." The next day, Giuliani and Ellis appeared before the Georgia Senate with a similar plan in mind. Georgia State Senator Elena Parent, who was present at the meeting, said in her closing remarks that it was, quote, "kind of like an Alice in Wonderland moment where you've gone down a rabbit hole," end quote. Parent told USA Today that after the 2020 election, she became the subject of misogynist attacks and false claims from QAnon conspiracy theorists, including allegations that she would be tried for treason at Guantanamo Bay. "It was terrifying, and just you have some guilt in having your family in the public eye and having their lives disrupted," Parent said. Trump didn't publicly criticize Philadelphia City Commissioner Lisa Dealey, but she still felt the effects of his and his allies' attempts to overturn the 2020 election results in Philadelphia. Dealey told USA Today she knew the city would be a target for Trump in the election when he falsely claimed during a September 2020 debate that poll watchers were being thrown out of its election centers. "The days after the election were surreal," in quotation marks, for Dealey. When she was alerted about a threat from a supporter of Trump from her office, Dealey had to have a physical security detail follow her around. Quote, "It's important for people to know that this had a real effect on real people," Dealey said. "It had a real effect on me. It had a real effect on my staff. It had residual effects on my family, on my social circle. Still today, going forward, it has lingering effects on everything that I do." She added that Trump not only called out the results of the election, but also her personal integrity, quote, "because people that know you and know what your job is, they know that he's talking about you. And that's a lot to take," end quote. Seth Bluestein, her colleague, told USA Today he received an onslaught of threats and harassment after Pam Bondi, one of Trump's lawyers during his impeachment trial, named him during a press conference on ballot counting. He said he looked into allegations about Philadelphia's election, but he did not find evidence of widespread fraud that would have impacted the 2020 election results. Quote, "We're going to prepare for the 2024 election with the preparation required to make sure that everyone, whether they're Democrat, independent or Republican, should be committed to protecting election workers and accepting the legitimate results of the election, Bluestein said. If Trump loses the 2024 election, Matthew Gunning, a political science professor at Georgia Gwinnett College, said he fears Trump will double down on charges of fraud. But one thing that would be different from the 2020 election is that Trump wouldn't have potential leverage he could exercise as the sitting president. Stephanie Lindquist, a political science and law professor at Arizona State University, told USA Today. At the same time, experts are still seeing Trump make allegations of voter fraud. Anthony Kreiss, an assistant professor of law at Georgia State University, told USA Today. Last week, Trump said on Truth Social that he planned to hold a news conference revealing a full report of alleged election irregularities in Georgia, though it was later canceled. Quote, "That to me signals that at least Donald Trump and people in his orbit have not necessarily let go of the 2020 election results," Kreiss said. So that is the latest update on the violent threats and racist message and what happened in 2020 and what may happen 2024. Elections, free and fair elections, are the cornerstone, the very basis of our democratic republic. And nothing can be more important when it comes to democracy. Let's make sure it happens right this time, hey? It's almost 9:47. We're going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Old pirates, yes, they rabbi. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption song.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time, apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Mostly cloudy this morning. I think we'll see a little more sunshine as we head into this afternoon. Our high today right around 80 with southeast wind at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 68. Tomorrow will be sunny, warmer, and a lot more humid. Our high tomorrow right around 90 with a heat index pushing 100. Wednesday even hotter with a high of 96. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Daniel Show on this Monday morning. Hope you're having a good day so far. Music from Spirit, Got a Line on You. And right now, we've got 67 degrees in Eau Claire, 65 degrees in Amory. Welcome back to the final segment of the show. Man, it goes by so quick. Just wanted to give you the latest update on the possibility of the former president showing up on Wednesday night in Milwaukee for the debate. It looks like he's not going to do it. At least that's what he's saying now. Although, how can you trust the guy with anything that he says? I got a piece here from Rolling Stone that was posted yesterday. It says, Trump says he will duck GOP debates, with a quote that says, I will therefore not be doing the debates. The former president wrote on Truth Social. This piece was posted by Peter Wade yesterday. It says, Donald Trump is taking the easy way out by choosing not to stand up to his Republican opponents on the debate stage. The former president wrote that he will not be doing the debates in a post on Truth Social. In the post shared on Sunday, Trump first bragged about what he described as legendary poll numbers taken from a CBS News YouGov poll that place him far ahead of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, his nearest opponent, who Trump described as crashing like an ailing bird. And here's the post that Trump put on his social media site. He said, new CBS poll just out has me leading the field by legendary numbers, Trump wrote. Trump, 62%, 46 points above the sanctimonious, who is crashing like an ailing bird. Ramaswamy, 7%, Pence, 5%, Scott, 3%, Haley, 2%, Sloppy Chris Christie, 2%, Ada, misspelled, spelled as A-I-D-A, Ada Hutchinson, 1%. The public knows who I am and what a successful presidency I had, with energy, independence, strong borders, and military, biggest ever tax and regulation cuts, no inflation, strongest economy in history, and much more. I will therefore not be doing the debates. He added, the Republican National Committee has lobbied Trump in recent weeks in an attempt to coax him into participating in the party's Wednesday debate, with Ronna McDaniel paying Trump a personal visit at his Bedminster, New Jersey club and home. During that trip, McDaniel told Trump that if he doesn't debate his Republican opponents, it could give Biden an excuse not to face Trump in a 2024 debate, the New York Times reported. Even Fox News brass have tried to convince Trump to debate his fellow Republicans. According to the Times, Fox News President Jay Wallace and network CEO Suzanne Scott dined with Trump at Bedminster on Tuesday night, shortly before he was indicted in Georgia. All candidates who want to participate in the Republican debate are supposed to sign a loyalty pledge of sorts, committing to support the eventual Republican nominee. Earlier this month, Trump said that he will not sign the pledge, though he did demand in June that his opponents should have to pledge to pardon him if they are elected. Quote, "Why would I sign it?" Trump said of the loyalty pledge in an interview on right-wing cable network Newsmax. Quote, "I can name three or four people that I wouldn't support for president, so right there's a problem." End quote. Instead of facing off against his Republican foes, Trump will release a taped interview with former Fox News host Tucker Carlson on Wednesday night. Trump also shied away from live TV cameras when he announced on Friday the cancellation of a promised major news conference scheduled for Monday, today, where he vowed to deliver a large, complex, detailed, but irrefutable report on the presidential election fraud. The planned conference was to counter the narrative that Fulton County, Georgia, prosecutor Fani Willis laid out in her indictment of Trump and 18 others for crimes related to attempted interference with the state's 2020 presidential election results. When canceling the news conference, Trump wrote, "Rather than releasing the report on the rigged and stolen Georgia 2020 presidential election on Monday, my lawyers would prefer putting this, I believe, irrefutable and overwhelming evidence of election fraud and irregularities in formal legal filings. Therefore, the news conference is no longer necessary," he concluded. I think most of us knew when he announced the news conference that it wasn't going to happen, but it's just a lot of bluster as usual. Oh, man, we've run out of time already. Thanks for tuning in today, everybody. I hope you have a great day, and I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow from 8 till 10 for the Stu Daniels Show.
This is where I belong. This is my home. This is
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.